Israel, Amen Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, A Judgment of Idolatry, was written by Peter Barry.
The burden of stone he bore as we came down the mountain would have been a heavy one for a man half his age. And there was such a depth of sorrow on the massive, bearded face that I shall always think he knew the hideous truth before he saw it. But it struck me like a fist blow when we came out on high ground above the camp and beheld in the leaping play of firelight the molten image of a golden calf. What do they do?
What think ye they do?
Is this an idol they adore?
An idol? A beast, my Joshua. Wrought out of the nightmare of their slavish past.
Mightier art thou than Thoth. More dreadful than Anubis. Holier than Osiris. And war gods than Amalek.
Mightier art thou than Thoth. More dreadful than Anubis. Holier than Osiris.
In the tempest of his anger, he had shattered the stone tablets borne down from the mountaintop. And the thunder that broke across the dark heavens seemed to spring of the lightning of his flashing gaze. Before I could reach out to him, he had leapt from the high place and strode across the clearing. A lesser man would have feared to do it, for there was a drunkenness of spirit amongst the people of the camp. But knowing neither fear nor the use of it, he moved through the midst of them and, laying hands on the calf of gold, wrenched it from its pedestal.
I have taught thee with all the might of my heart. Hast heard no word I've spoken, ye vermin of the gutters of Thebes? Hast understood no single syllable? Ha! Is this white-faced silence to be my only consolation? Ye pale and shudder, and it is proper that ye should. Ye have made a stench offering in the nostrils of my Lord, and ye shall suffer therefore. Let this idol be ground to dust, made to powder, that I may strew it in the water of your drinking, that ye may taste to the full the bitterness of your folly. How was it that ye failed me so? Failed us both, yourselves and me. How was it that when my back was turned, that you fell into this sour and ancient rottenness? Have I not told ye better? How could you bring your hands to fashion this mockery of godhood, to shape and form this? Now hold, ye could not all have shaped and formed it. Nay, Some one hand did the task. Someone, some single hand made you this scavenger deity. Whose hand was it? Whose hand, I say? Some man, speak out! Who was it sculpted you, the beast? Think you to shield him from me? Know you not my brother Aaron, who was appointed a priest in Israel, was here amongst you and can tell me the name of the man who did it? Who made this calf? You defy me then? You make it a test of will between us? So be it. But I pronounce it to you now. No one among you, man, child, or woman, shall partake of food or slumber until the maker of this obscenity is confessed to me.
But no man spoke. Each held his peace, though each trembled at sight of the leader's displeasure. And that displeasure raged unabated as the moment passed, and he paced the floor of his tent, waiting for one amongst the many to yield to his will and come to him. And just as the new moon rose, peering over Sinai's rim, a timid step was heard outside, and a thin, familiar face blinked on the threshold.
Aaron.
My brother.
Enter in peace and sit beside me.
My brother.
Aye.
My brother, I...
Well, what will you?
Your forgiveness.
For what?
For that I answered not when you asked the name of the idol maker.
I sought no answer from you, Aaron. I'll know from them. I'll have them learn. They shall not stand stiff-necked and defy me.
Moses.
I?
In defying thee, they shielded thy brother.
What? I'll say you.
The name of the idol maker is my own.
Whom do you protect, Aaron?
No one.
If this be thy notion of a jest, it is a poor one.
If death itself be a jest, then is this one also?
Aaron.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
Keep you back from me.
They came in a body. You had been a long time gone. Aye, 5 full weeks and better. Thy brother has deserted us, they said, and taken his god with him. Now, make us a god we can see, Aaron. A calf of gold that will shine before our eyes in the living light of day.
Did it.
On pain of my life, I did it. I was one man against many.
The chance for great goodness comes always to one man against many.
My brother...
I cannot look upon you.
Is my sin so great?
Great? When a heathen blasphemes, no wind stirs. But consider the tempest that rages in heaven when a priest of the Lord lends his hand to blasphemy.
They came with me! With their weapons half drawn.
I care not for how they came. I care but for what you did.
What else could I have done?
You could have died.
Moses!
Out of my sight. Idolater!
That night I stood guard before the leader's tent. And long after moonset, I heard him within, pacing, murmuring the name of his brother. That night passed slowly, but it passed. Did the next one and the next, and the life of the camp began veering slowly back toward normal. Soon, little was heard of the cap of gold. All avoided it, as the members of a family avoid speaking of a tragedy they've survived. Indeed, it had been many days since I'd heard it mentioned, when one night, as I crossed the clearing toward my father's dwelling, a voice out of the gathering darkness spoke my name.
Joshua Ben-Nun.
Who's there?
Tis only I. Only Aaron.
Peace be with thee.
And with thee. The day has been hot.
Tomorrow will be also very like.
How fares my brother?
Well, Aaron, quite well.
Speaks he much ill of me?
Truth is, he has little time these days to speak well or ill of any man.
Oh, so?
He busies himself night and morning with the finishing of the tabernacle.
Oh, why, I...
There's no end of work entailed for him. Materials are scarce, hard to find. He'd have it all just so, a perfect thing unto the Lord.
Joshua.
Aye.
is my name never mentioned?
I'd not say never.
When, then? When? How recently? How?
Would you have the truth?
If he'd tell it to me.
Well, then, today.
I?
This noon at meets.
I?
Bezaleel, the artisan.
What said he?
Bezaleel?
Nay, my brother.
He said nothing.
Nothing?
A cloud seemed to fall upon him, and he sat in silence, staring at his hand.
I feared it might be thus. It is his way to thunder and condemn. And then, when his rage is quiet, to sit in silence, staring at his hands. Nay, for both our sakes, this must not continue.
What?
This postponement, this waiting. Sooner or later, he must pronounce judgment for what I've done. But he avoids it, I think, loathing to inflict such pain upon me.
You may well be right.
Will you bear a message from me?
I...
He will not upbraid you that you spoke to me.
No one has bade me not to speak to thee, Aaron.
Then say to him that I, Aaron, made the calf, and that I am content I have earned whatsoever retribution shall be mine.
I will so tell him.
Say that I beg him to delay no longer, but to punish now, and sorry, rather than to further prolong my torment and his own. Will you say all this?
I.
My thanks, my lad. And say beside that I said, peace be with thee.
And he clasped my hand and turned and walked away. A lean and troubled figure, curved already with the stoop of age, moving lonely through the night. I intended to convey his message the moment I entered the leader's tent in the morning. But that was the morning Bezaleel arrived before me with the news that the tabernacle was complete.
Aye, and there is not one single thing that's left to do.
The gold has sufficed to overlay the sockets and the candlestick.
There remained enough and much to spare from the plating of the pillars and the bars of the boardwork.
How shall God be praised sufficiently?
Hallelujah.
His name be hallowed.
The measurements remain precise, Vesely.
Aye.
No inch was given or taken in the work of building.
No inch, my leader. The specifications are exact with those you gave.
I gave them not. But I shall reward your labor. And he who gave them shall reward it also.
My reward is in his everlasting glory. With your leave, I will be gone to aid Oliab, my helper, in his task.
What task is his?
The carving of the breastplate of the high priest's raiment.
Oh, aye. Peace be with you, good workman.
And with thee.
The thing is done, my Joshua. The curtains of twisted linen hang, dyed with violet and with scarlet. And the altar stands awaiting the savor smell of sacrifice.
This day should be a joyous one for thee.
Aye.
A day of happiness unalloyed.
Not in this life is unalloyed, my son. Neither grief nor happiness.
I bear a message for thee.
Message?
From thy brother.
Saw you, my brother.
Last night he stopped me in the clearing and walked with me.
Well?
His face was gray as a winter's dawning. His eyes were wintry also, wan and hollow.
He said he bore a message.
Aye. In short, he asks that you be about it. Express your will and get the matter over at once and done with.
The matter?
Of his punishment, for the making of the calf. He said for me to say that you prolong his torment and your own by delaying to pronounce judgment.
Poor Aaron.
And with all reverence and respect, I cannot but agree with him. What can be served by postponing your decision?
My decision? I have naught to decide, my son.
Call you the punishment of your brother naught?
Naught.
How say you?
I call it naught, since he shall not be punished.
What?
He shall not be punished. Not in any way.
This is your conclusion?
Aye. Where go you?
So inform him.
I have not thus commissioned ye.
But he is anxious and most tortured.
Forget thy haste.
I would relieve him with this truth.
When one bears the truth, one must bear all of it. Stand ye, boy, and hearken.
Aye.
You will say to him that I have pondered much upon his evil. That I condone it no whit, and am yet staggered by its enormity.
I
say that I would punish him, but that punishment itself fails me in his case.
Fails you?
Say to him that punishment has a value only wherein it teaches.
Aye.
And where is the need to teach the blackness of so great a sin? To an appointed high priest of Israel.
Appointed high priest?
Even so. God chose Aaron and his sons to officiate in the tabernacle. And God has not since gainsaid his choice. Now have you my leave to go report to him.
He sat gazing into the sunlight beyond the tent portal. There was no expression on the somber bearded face to give me hint of what he thought behind his grave old eyes. And Aaron's face blinked with baffled puzzlement as I made known to him his brother's words.
He has said this?
Aye.
He has said this?
Well, rejoice, Aaron. You are honored most loftily.
Most loftily.
As are thy sons. I said, as are thy sons, Aaron.
Aye.
So summon them to you, if you will, and inform them that our leader awaits both them and you upon the morrow to instruct you in the duties of the priesthood. Aaron, will you summon them?
Aye. Here, peace be with thee.
Peace be with thee.
He has said this. He has said this.
On the morning of the next day, the training of Aaron and his sons began. And each day thereafter, the leaders schooled them in the details of the ritual, that they might know it and set it down for the generation.
Each day the priest shall twice appear before the altar, arrayed in the vestments of his office. Say me now, Abiul, what are the vestments of the office?
A mitre and a tunic of fine linen.
And with what shall the hems of the tunic be trimmed, Eleazar?
With golden pomegranates, my leader.
And what shall the high priest wear upon his bosom, Ithamar?
A breastplate of gold.
Know you, Nadab, what words shall be inscribed upon this breastplate?
The words, holy to the Lord, my leader.
Well said. If thy son forget this in their youth, will you remember it, Aaron?
Aye, brother. I will remember it.
Speak, Eleazar. What spices shall be used for the holy incense?
Stati and Anika.
Naught else?
Galbanum of sweet savor.
Verily. And how shall it be prepared for burning, Aaron?
It shall be beaten to a powder.
Whereon shall the priests make holy sacrifice, Nadab?
Upon the altar of the Holocaust.
And what shall be the animals of sacrifice, my brother?
Two rams without blemish.
Aught else?
Aye. Two rams, my brother. And a calf.
And then on the first morning of the first month, the sounding of horns summoned the people of the camp under the tabernacle. Awesome lay the clouds low upon Sinai's brow, and the voice of Moses spake amidst thunder.
Behold ye the tabernacle of God! Behold ye the dwelling place of the Most High! Preserve it and tend it ever, I charge thee, that it may stay as a testament unto the heathen that the Almighty reigneth.
Amen.
Thou dost remember all I've told thee, Aaron.
I.
Then enter in and serve the Lord.
And Aaron and his sons passed into the sanctuary. And the face of Aaron was pale, and his hands trembled. And with trembling hands lighted he the fires. And with trembling lips spoke he the prayers of his office. And then unto him were brought the two rams and the calf of the sacrifice. Shuddering did he reach out toward the calf. Then he halted, rigid, white, and frozen.
All is well done, Father. Proceed to sacrifice.
Make a beginning, we beg thee.
I cannot. For the life of me, I cannot!
Aaron had reeled from the altar, turned and fled, stumbled out of the tabernacle and across the clearing under the startled gaze of the multitude. Into his tent he ran and flung himself across his couch, sobbing, clinging to the pillow. From without, the voices of the people raised in perplexed surmise. And then the portal of his tent parted. He looked up and beheld the frowning face of his brother.
What dost thou here? Rise, I conjure you.
I cannot obey thee.
Get thee back into the sanctuary.
I dare not, I dare not.
For shame that ye should so flee thy office.
I flee not my office.
Thou hast fled it.
It was myself I fled.
Aaron! The heavens are angered.
Aaron! Thy altar goes untended.
Is this seemly, this folly of yours?
One of thy folly.
I.
The sight of the calf undid me. I looked upon it, and it became the emblem of my golden sin. How could you have placed me there before the Lord?
Seek not my reason.
I seek what I must know. Wherefore should the beasts of sacrifice be unblemished when the chosen priest is leprous with his evil?
Tell me, Aaron, who should replace you?
Why, a blameless man.
And where should I seek such a man? Know you one in Israel, or in Edom, or Mizraim?
You must seek one where he waits.
The altar would go long untended while I sought. And when I found him, him would I reject.
Reject? Wherefore?
For his sinlessness.
I follow not thy meaning.
Nay.
Nay?
Consider the hopelessness of sinning mankind, if it beheld a blameless man before the altar. Woe unto us, their hearts would cry. There stands a perfect creature. No such a one as we, but a paragon of heaven, radiant in his cleanliness. Alas, God receives only the angels unto himself, and we shall wander ever, irrevocably lost and desolate. What should they do then, Aaron, but turn outfaced to godlessness and evil?
My wits are tattered, I know not.
But if they see one like thee in the high place, they must take heart. There is no reason to despair, they will say. He was as we have been. But he has put aside wrongdoing and won forgiveness to the full, and some honor with it. Observe him and rejoice, for may we not do likewise and follow his example. Be this sound judgment, brother.
Verily, mayhap it is. But choose you then a man of some small sin. For my great evil unfits me above all others for a sacred task.
Dost thou repent that evil?
With all my heart.
Then know that the very greatness of it fits you above all others for the task I've given you.
I fathom this not.
Think, brother. Think what the children will say. Will they not say, we will not fear to walk with the Lord? For if the repentant Aaron has been forgiven his vast transgression, then hope abides forever, and no man can be lost.
Aaron! The fire of the altar burns!
Aaron! The sacrifice awaits the priest!
Aaron!
Hast understood me, brother?
Aye. But my heart still poundeth.
Admonish it to silence, then. And go you, serve God.
And Aaron went in under the tabernacle and took his place before the altar. The mists of the morning parted and the sun shone through. The straight, white smoke of sacrifice rose heavenward. And Aaron raised his hands above the children's heads and blessed them, saying,
may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you
and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting the Honorable Maximilian Moss, the surrogate of Kings County, New York. Judge Moss.
In an annotation to Deuteronomy, appearing in the Sanshino edition of the Pentateuch and Haftorahs, edited by Chief Rabbi Hertz, it is said, Jewish history is a continuous revelation with a divine lesson for each generation. I would say that the present lesson is to disseminate throughout the world the knowledge of God and that he be served with earnestness and devotion. There is much ungodliness in parts of the world today. But if we can bring home to them the lesson of Aaron, as portrayed in the story which you have just heard, and the judgment of Moses which followed, that sinning mankind can cleanse themselves of their sins, then indeed may we yet see the day when there will be blended into one grand symphony the voices of all the peoples of the world uttering their everlasting faith in God and in the great moral precepts and the righteousness of conduct which such belief must necessarily bring. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain.
Thank you, Judge Moss. Our Eternal Light drama today was A Judgment for Idolatry, written by Peter Barry. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Roy Shield. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast, Carl Weber, Bernard Grant, Lynn Cook, Sam Gray, Hal Studer, Guy Rep, Glenn Woods, Bob O'Connor, Jim Dukas, and Eleanor Phelps. This is Mel Brandt. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.